Caution, this podcast episode contains graphic or sexual content. Please be advised that this may be a trigger. I am grateful for God's everlasting mercy. Hey girl, hey, it's your girl Rustique, and this is the Girls Room Podcast. What's up, girlies? How y'all doing? Another week. We got another podcast episode. And this week, you know, I have something near and dear on my heart to spill. So we are going back at it again, off the dome. No paper, no pen, no nothing. Just me and my raw emotions. I'm going to give this disclaimer. This podcast might make you cry. It might make me cry. You know, we gonna get through this together. It might be graphic. It might be, I don't know. It might be a lot. So I am giving this disclaimer before we get to going, okay? This is your fair warning. Yes, that's our fair warning. So yesterday was Sunday. And now me and my little boo, we go to church every Sunday. And shout out to us. We getting that word in. We went to church yesterday. Yesterday was Mother's Day. So there was a woman pastor this time. So at first I was, first off, it was a recording. Like, we were in church, but it was recording. So that kind of threw me off. But, you know, neither here nor there, I was going to get a message today. So she started talking, and she started talking about mothers and this, this, and that. Obviously, I am not a mother. So I was almost started to, like, disengage, because I was like, okay, this is not going to be pertaining to me. I don't know what she's going to talk about, because I am not a mother. I cannot relate. But then she started to bring up some very valid points, so therefore I tuned in. And one of the things that, like, really grasped my attention. Oh, Jesus. My voice is already getting shaky because this is just so much. But one thing that really caught my attention was she was talking about how, you know, God put you on this earth for a purpose. Like, everybody has a purpose, obviously, on this earth. And everybody has, like, a testimony, and everybody has a story that they're going to take with them through their life and on this earth. So the analogy that she used was, she has a friend who likes to run marathons. So her friend invited for her to come run a marathon with her. And on this marathon, it was like a wall. You know those walls you have to, like, climb over? And when you climb over, you have to help the next person over, and the next person helps that person over. Like that. So she said that, like, her friend was climbing up the wall, so she had to pull her up, and then once she got up on the wall, she had to then assist somebody else to get over the wall. So she used that analogy to say that, you know, God gives us these testimonies and God gives us these stories to therefore pass down and pass to the next person and assist them with, you know, something that they might not even know that they may need help with, or something that somebody may be going through and needs to see some positivity, or needs to see something or somebody that has got through a similar situation. So all in all, you know, everybody has a story and everybody has a testimony, and you are to use that story and use that testimony to therefore help somebody else out and help them get past the hard time that they may be in their life. So with that being said, I am going to share my testimony. Okay, let's get into it. I feel like a lot of you guys see me on social media, or you may see me in person. You know, you see this bubbly, outgoing, cheery, happy Rustique, but that has not always been me. I'm just now starting to be, like, consistently happy, consistently on an upbeat. And you know, like, if we're being very honest here, I had a very, very rough upbringing, difficult, and you wouldn't even know that I went through those things growing up. And I feel like we as people, before I get into my story, we as people, we need to learn to share more compassion and more empathy with people, because you truly never know what someone is going through behind closed doors. You never know what somebody's story is, what someone's circumstance is. And I think it's unfair that we have become people who just judge so quickly and judge so immediately based off of the lack of something, or somebody not having this, somebody not having that, because you just truly never know what they're going through. So if you don't take anything from this, even if you don't, if you can't relate or connect to my story, let's just promise that we will move through life with more compassion and more love towards other people. Can you promise me that? Okay, thanks. Thanks for the pinky promise. Those are my faves. Okay, so let's start off. So I'm gonna call this growing up on 519. So I grew up, I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas, by the way. So if you're from Little Rock, I grew up like right in like the center of downtown. So right off Broadway. So y'all know Broadway is like the main street downtown. Grew up right off of that. Pretty nice house, big two-story house. I mean, we had two Mercedes in the driveway. Like, you would have thought from outside looking in that I was living the life. But I was totally not living the life. I hated my life. Hated with a capital H. I despised everything about my life. I would even question and ask God, like, God, why? Like, why me? Like, why are you doing this to me? Why is this my life? Why is this happening to me? I never understood. So from a young age, I knew that my father was an alcoholic. So therefore, he would drink all the time, come home, get a beer, come home, drink, and then like just be belligerently drunk. I mean, belligerently drunk. And, you know, I have woken up many days of my life as a child to hear my mom and my dad arguing. Not even my mom and my dad arguing, more so my dad yelling at my mama, you know, going off on her about something that she did wrong or something that she didn't do or something that she, you know, messed up on or something like that. Just arguing for absolutely no reason. I have also seen my dad like almost kill my mother in front of me. My dad has literally in front of my eyes held up a knife to my mother's neck, threatening to kill her in front of my eyes as a child. Can you imagine having to see that as a little child and then go to school the next day and be around your friends and act normal? Do you know how strange that is? Strange. So, aside from, like I said, my dad being an alcoholic, so therefore my mother suffered abuse, so she suffered mental, verbal, physical, all of that. So I saw that as a child. And then once I started to grow up, that started to transmute to me. So therefore, when I was in middle school, and you know how when you're like going through your preteen stages, you know, you start to, as a woman, you start to have your menstrual cycle, you start to go through puberty, all of that stuff. Your body is going through so many changes, so many different things. And you have to, you know, learn how to adjust, learn how to do this, unlearn this, all of that. So usually, you know, you feel like your mother would give you those talks of how to, you know, change your pad or how to do this or, you know, the womanly things that we have to go through. Your mother is usually the one to give you those talks. Well, instead of my mother, it was my father giving me those talks like, you need to be doing X, Y, and Z. You need to make sure that you do this, this, and this. And it started off as just like a regular conversation, just as a, you need to do X, Y, and Z. You need to make sure that this and this is covered. So in my head, I was just like, okay, well, I mean, I guess this is normal. You know, I guess this is the time of my life where I'm starting to become a quote unquote young woman. So I need to learn, you know, how to properly handle and not handle myself. So, you know, just started with some conversation. And it's crazy because looking back, I would think that like me and my dad were close. So me and my father were closer than me and my mother, which is strange, even though all the things that have happened and all the things that I witnessed happening took place, we were still kind of close, if you will. So it didn't seem out of place for him to be telling me these things. So as I started to go through middle school, I feel like those conversations translated into actions. So therefore, those conversations started to become my dad like waking me up in the middle of the night to do things to me as a child. So mind you, I'm in middle school. Like, you know, when you're in middle school, you're like 14, not even 14, you're like 12, 11. 13, like you're a baby. So literally there would be times I would be sleeping and like my dad would just wake me up. He would wake me up and make me go downstairs. Everybody else would be asleep. And then he would do things to me and make me do things to him. And this started to become like an everyday occurrence. So every night it would become those things. And so in front of other people or to me, he would be like, okay, he would call it cleaning yourself, quote unquote. So I'm not gonna get like too in depth, but I'm just going to let your mind take that as it will. Yes. So he would be like, you know, did you make sure you clean yourself good today or I'll have to show you da 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 da. So that would be his conversation. So that was like, literally, like I said, an everyday occurrence. And then it became like a mechanism to where if I wanted to do something, I had to do. If I wanted to do something, I had to do that for him. So if I wanted to go out with my friends, I had to clean myself, quote unquote, to go out with my friends. Or if I wanted to, you know, go out to eat, if I wanted to go to a school dance, if I wanted to go to an after school activity, I had to, quote unquote, make sure that I cleaned myself. And then, so if I didn't do it properly, quote unquote, he would then have to show me how to clean myself until I got what I needed to get in his mind. So, mind you, I'm having to go to school, having to act like my life is normal. Well, all of this is going on at home. And on top of that, my dad would talk to me very, very, very crazy. Like, that man has probably called me every name under the book. I done been a bitch. I done been a hoe. I'm stupid. I'll never amount to nothing. Like, y'all couldn't even wear weave. Like, I remember one time in middle school, like, I wanted to get, like, some crochet in my hair. That's not even real weave. I wanted to get crochet in my hair. And my dad told me, like, if you do that, I will disown you. Like, you will not be a Kelly. You will not be this, this, and this anymore. So, you know, as a child, you know, you don't want to hear that from your father, the person who's supposed to love you, who's supposed to be your first love. You don't want to hear those like negative things. So obviously that took a downpour on my mental health. And now that I'm older, I can see how bad that even those names or even him calling me outside of, you know, what I was or breaking me down, how that affected me as I grew up. Like, y'all, I couldn't wear certain outfits. Like, I know Coach tennis shoes. I remember my granny got me my first pair of Coach tennis shoes and he did not talk to me for like a week because he hated the way those shoes looked. Those are like the mind games that my dad would play on me all the time. One time I got a new iPhone and I had to hide it. Like, my granny would not let me tell him I had to hide this phone. I had to literally hide it and use my old phone when I would be around him. And my dad used to like spy on me, which I will get to later in the story. He used to spy on me. And so like he would turn our Wi-Fi on and off in the house. So one time, I think I like made like a tweet or something. My dad like came and I hid my phone. He came running upstairs, like tore my room apart looking for the phone. So therefore, my dad was abusive, controlling, all of that. And I'm still having to go to school. So if you knew me in middle school, like you knew I was on the dance team. I was taking dance classes. You would have never known any of this was going on in my house at all. Would have never known. I never said anything. And I remember when I got so fed up one day, I think I literally walked from my house to my grandmother's house because I was just so upset. And y'all know my granny is my best friend, so that was my girl. And so I walked to her house and I was just so upset. So I remember my mother coming to get me and I was just so upset. So I just started crying and crying and crying. And I was like, and you know what? I can send daddy to jail. I can send him to jail right now. So mind y'all, I was smart enough to know like what was going on was not correct. But at the same time, I was also very cognizant of how my livelihood and my family's livelihood would change if I were to say something. And my dad was a very unpredictable person. So therefore, I didn't want to put anybody else in jeopardy. So in that moment, I'm crying, my granny's crying, my mom's crying, and we're all trying to figure out what to do. And I'm just like, no, like, don't say anything because, like, I know at this time that you're not going to be capable enough to take care of us. So I took an L. I took an L because I did not want to my family like to struggle. I did not want my little brother to struggle. I did not want to struggle. I didn't want my mom to struggle. So she literally like kept that secret for a good little minute because I literally told her not to say anything. So I remember, you know, it was my eighth grade year. And I was going into my eighth grade year of middle school, actually. And there was like this really bad thunderstorm. And so a tree fell through my room. I was not in my room. So that's just, I'm okay. I was okay. The tree just fell through my room. So therefore my room had to be remodeled because a tree fell through my room. So the final straw of the sexual abuse was one of those days. I was in my room and I woke up. And my father was in between my legs. His face was in between my legs. And at that point, I started crying. I almost started screaming. And I just remember him saying, like, I just had too much to drink tonight. Like, promise me you won't tell anybody. Like, you won't have this, you won't have that. You know, trying to guilt trip me into not saying anything. So obviously, because like I said, I cared about my life, like my livelihood and livelihood of my family. I didn't say anything, but I was still, you know, trying to maneuver through life, trying to understand who I was and trying to understand why this was happening to me out of all people. Like none of my other friends seemed to have been dealing with any of these issues. And I just was so confused as to why it had to be me. Why did it have to be me? And so, you know, things kind of started to calm down a little bit. I mean, he would still talk crazy to me and he would still do like, you know, those manipulative things to me, but he didn't sexually abuse me anymore after that. I think because like at that point I was really kind of grown. So if he got on my nerves, I would be like, well, you know what you did to me. You don't want me to tell nobody, do you? So he kind of calmed down. So therefore, you know, some years had gone by. So now we're going into my sophomore year of high school. And I was talking to my Aunt Roz. Everybody knows Aunt Roz. Hey, Aunt Roz. I was going into my sophomore year of high school. And it was right after Christmas break. And I wanted to do this modeling thing so bad. And so I was talking to my Aunt Roz about the modeling thing. And she was just like, you know, if you want to do it, I'm all for it. I support you. Just make sure you don't let anybody take advantage of you. Don't let anybody do anything to you. And for some reason, that just like really hit home to me. So I literally just started crying my eyes out. And she was like, why are you crying? Like, what's wrong? And so then I just, you know, told her everything. I literally told her everything that my daddy had done to me, everything that he used to do to my mom, all of that. And she was not going. So from that day on, her and I became best friends. So she came up with this whole plan for us to pretty much escape that house and, you know, create our own lives moving forward. So I remember that Monday came. We acted like we went to school that day, but we didn't. And once my dad had left, I had the police escort us to our house. And we had cameras around our house, so I guess my daddy saw that. So he came home. And, you know, he ran into the house before we can go in there. And he did some things. I wasn't really sure at that time what he did. Later I came to realize that he unplugged what he had a camera in my room. I never knew that. So he went to upstairs to make sure he could unplug that camera before we all walked in with the police. So yeah, and he was just acting very confused. And you know, he called my granny to the house. And so it was really dramatic. And I don't know where we were going. I don't know what we were about to do. And then so literally from that day forward, my life like changed. So therefore we lived in like a homeless shelter. So it was just me, my little brother and my mother. We stayed in one big room together with I don't know how many other families, community bathrooms, all of that. And so I was in high school at this time. So talk about extra, extra, extra embarrassing to have to like get up and go to school, get up and be on the dance team and act all happy. And then to have to come home to what's not even a home. I mean, thank God that we had somewhere to lay our heads, but that's not home. And then, like, you know, I was feeling guilty the whole time because, like, I knew my brother was having a hard time adjusting to all of that, being in middle school. My mom was having a hard time. I was having a hard time. Like, it was just hard to have to deal with that, like, to try to have to live a normal life and then come home to, again, not what's not your home. So, and like at that time, I couldn't really talk to my granny because, you know, she would talk to her son, and it was just, you know, I'm going to court. I'm meeting with lawyers every other day. Like, y'all, I almost failed school that year. Like, I think I had like a 2 point something. That's the lowest my GPA has ever been for my entire life. But I was missing so much school, from going to therapy, from going to meetings with attorneys, to going to court, to going to doctor's appointments, all of these different things, while still having to live my everyday life. So once that finally passed, you know, we stayed in the homeless shelter for about like 6 to 7 months. And then like we finally got our own apartment. And it was just me again, like me, my brother, and my mother. We got our own apartment. You know, we started to make our own lives out of basically having to start all the way over. So it was hard. Like, it was more than hard, more than stressful. Like I said, I don't want to go too into detail because I feel like that might just be a little too much, like too graphic. But that's literally like, that was like my whole childhood. Like when I say I can't even barely remember my childhood. Like I don't remember any positive times, partly of my childhood, because of all of those traumatic things back to back to back to back every single day. I pretty much like blacked out my whole entire childhood. So just imagine, you know, not having a childhood, essentially. Like I had to be an adult from as long as I can remember. I had to be an adult. I had to help my mother, you know, I had to make sure that, you know, she didn't make my daddy too mad, or I had to make sure that I didn't make him too mad, or I had to make sure that, you know, my brother didn't do this, or I didn't do that, or I had to do so much and carry so much on my shoulders every single day. Like, there was times where I didn't want to be here. Like, I would hide under my bed and cry and like ask God, like, God, like, why are you doing this to me? Like, why is this my life? Why is this happening to me? And it was really hard. And so even like trying to finish high school was hard for me because I'm having to like readjust to everything. And then carrying the weight of like feeling like I did everybody wrong. Like, I feel like my brother hated me because, you know, he didn't understand what was going on. He just knew that like I separated our whole family. And then like to see my mother struggle, like that's what I was trying to avoid the whole time. That's why I never wanted to say anything, because I knew it would be hard on everybody. But you know, God got us through. I finished high school. I went to college. And I feel like once I finally got to college is when like my life really kind of like turned around for me. I felt free. I could really do what I wanted to do. I was in a new city, even though I was only in Jonesboro. Like I wasn't riding around Little Rock scared that I would run into my dad, or scared that he would see me so-and-so, or scared if I was at my granny's house and he would pop up. You know, I was able to like reinvent myself and redo everything. Like I could take all the shackles of his negativity off of my shoulders. And when I got to college, I made it a point to make sure that even though he would never see me again, I know that I handled my shit. So I got to college and I did everything. I did everything under the sun. Like I was a mentor. I was an ambassador. I was a tour guide. I was a RA. I did everything. I became a Delta. I was the president of my chapter. I was going to make sure that he knew, even though he would never know, that I was something and I was going to be something. Even though he told me that I would never be anything in my life, I was going to make it known that I was going to do that. And even halfway through college, I lost my granny. Well, I was pretty much done with college at that point, but like I lost my granny, and that was like my best friend. If you knew me, you know that me and my granny was like freaking frack. That was my girl. And even when she passed, like it was a very sad occasion that she passed. But even when she passed, it was like another weight lifted off of my shoulder. Like she literally passed and I could live my life for me. You know, I didn't have to worry like, is she okay? Does she need me? She's calling my phone. Oh, I can't go here because I have to help her with those things. You know, you love your people, you love your parents, you love your grandparents, but sometimes those people can hold you back as well. And I never realized that. And then, like, when she passed, I literally moved to California, and I lived like I lived my best life in California. And I knew that she was watching over me the whole time. And I knew that's something that she wanted. Like, I remember being at her house when I got the call that I got the internship at Chegg, and we were so happy. And that's like our last memory together. But that's my girl. So I knew that she was watching over me. So yeah, like, all of those things happened to me. And then, like I said, when she passed, my life just elevated even more. So I moved to California, and then boom, I'm graduating. And then, oh my gosh, now I'm moving to New York. Boom, COVID happened. Like, oh my gosh, you know, when COVID happened, everybody was just like, what's going on? And I know it's very cliche, but everybody was like, oh, you know, COVID was a great, like, I don't want to say great because I don't want to sound numb to the situation, because COVID was a very, very, very tough time for people. It was a tough time for me mentally, but at the same time, it was very life-changing for me, because it was allowing for me to now sit still and understand that, you know, all of those bad things did happen to me, but they happened to me for a greater purpose. Like, literally, I had like a whole epiphany, a whole come to Jesus. Like, God was talking to me during like the first months of COVID. Like, he literally told me that, you know, even though you had to go through all of those hard things and those struggles, it was for a reason, because look at you now. Look at where you're at now, and look at all the things that you've accomplished now. And it's literally only up from here. Like, it's only up from here. So I did that for a reason. So even though, you know, during the times that these bad things may be happening, and you're just wondering, like, God, like, why me? Is this going to change? It's going to change, okay? Eventually. You just have to believe in yourself and stay the course, because I wouldn't, in a million years, would have never thought that this would be my life. Like, I'm living in Baltimore. I'm living on my own. I pay my own bills. I have a great job, great people around me. I'm mending relationships with my family. Like, me and my mom are mending relationships, and me and my siblings are mending relationships. Like, my life is great. But 10 years ago, I would have never thought that this would have been my life. So that was a very short, I thought I wasn't going to be able to do this in like one little session, but I didn't get too deep. But all that to say, you know, God never puts you through nothing that you cannot handle. So you may be going through those hard times, but you're going to get through it, and you're going to come out on top. Like, look, like I said, look at me. So God is using me and using my story to help other people. So if anybody has ever been through like any type of abuse or any type of heartache or any type of like death, any type of struggle, just know you will get through it. And if you look at me, you can see that he works wonders. He really works wonders, and he's gonna get you through it. So I'm gonna stop crying and get off this soapbox now. But I hope that y'all enjoy this, and I hope that you can connect with me. I hope that this helps you understand me more and understand why I go so hard for women, why I go so hard for my brand, why I go so hard for trying to uplift and encourage, why I'm learning to be unapologetically myself, because, yeah, like, that's life. That's my life. And yeah, y'all should hit me up if y'all want to know any more details. I would be glad to share. That's what therapy is for. Therapy is to help me heal from all of these things and grow and know that this is just a part of my testimony. So with that, we are out with this episode. Love y'all.